To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network. All right. It's the morning after the BTS concert, day 2. We're here at our Airbnb. We brought the microphone and our setup, so we're recording next morning.
Yep.
Voices are raspy.
Uh-huh.
It's nostalgic.
It is.
I'm like, gosh, I forgot how much you lose your voice after a BTS concert.
I know.
But I love recording after having a concert because then my voice is a little bit raspy and sexy.
Very sexy. Yeah, we are super excited to talk about the concert today and all of our experiences this weekend. So on that note, welcome back, Iconics. And if you're new to the podcast, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is, too. But disclaimer, this is an informative fangirl podcast. That means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast, though. So if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some, so many moments from this weekend left me speechless.
Yeah. Or this weekend felt like a major life event.
100%. If you're here for that, then you're in the right place.
All right. Today's episode, we're just covering our experience at the Permission to Dance on Stage in LA concert, day 2.
Day 2.
Specifically.
Yep. So before we get into today's episode, we do want to say thank you, Iconics, for being here and for supporting us. If you'd like to support us even further, get access to our Google Docs, get access to our monthly virtual Iconic Hangouts, then you can do so by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out bi-weekly episodes. Any type of support is super appreciated. Thank you all for being here and for listening.
Yeah, thanks, Iconics. As far as Charity of the Month, we know that it's December now, but we're just so overwhelmed from the weekend that we really need to spend our time choosing a charity for next episode.
Yeah, there's already so much to happen this weekend. It kind of like was over ahead. I mean, it's my birthday. It's November 29th right now. So
it's literally her birthday right
now. But when this comes out, we're like, oh yeah, it'll be December, but we hadn't thought about it. So we'll come back with our next episode and have a good charity that we've picked out. We just have to think about it.
And we want to be mindful and not just rush through it. So be patient with us, but support a local cause in the meantime.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into our weekend and talk about what we've been doing. So we actually flew out to LA on Friday morning. We both got up at 3 a.m. Central Standard Time, and our flight was leaving at 6:55 a.m. So we had to like get to the airport, get through security. It's the day after Thanksgiving, so we were expecting just air travel to be insane. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, in the early morning, it wasn't too crazy yet.
Not too crazy, but there were a lot of armies on our flight. There were some armies hanging out, you know, waiting for our flight. So we got to talk with some armies. Someone took pictures of our airport fashion for us. Mm-hmm. We ended up going shopping for our concert outfits. And in the midst of it, we were like, we should do airport fashion. So we really went all out. Our outfits were buttery and comfy and cozy. Mm-hmm. I felt like I felt special, like VIP in my outfit. I was like, yep, I'm flying to LA to go see BTS.
Oh, well, because of the outfits that we put together, like when we were walking through like our gate area, we really had to strut and like work it, you know?
I had to own it. I was like, okay, people are looking at me, but you know what? Gotta strut.
Yeah,
gotta
because
be confident.
We had such stylized outfits like for the airport, you know, and we're like kind of in the corner of our gate area, like, okay, I guess we're gonna take pictures now.
Yeah. I was like, I cannot feel insecure in that I'm like a little over the top right now.
Right.
I just gotta be confident. Yeah, but we were
we felt like BTS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the point. You know, we wanted to kind of model how BTS does the airport fashion. That was fun.
Yeah. And then you went to, I don't know if you went to go get coffee or something, but I was kind of editing the pictures and I just thought it'd be hilarious to put the Dispatch logo on it.
Yeah.
So I did. I kind of did a quick job of it. Like I wasn't being super careful and trying to make it look perfect, but it just kind of cracked me up.
It was hilarious.
And so I felt like, yep,
I thought
Dispatch.
That was so clever. I was cracking up at that.
Yeah, that was really fun.
That was a good idea.
The airport fashion just really hyped our confidence up to fly out for the weekend and like set us up for the weekend on a
good
note.
Event. It's an event. Yeah. Okay. So then we ended up getting into LA and we were in pretty warm outfits, so we had to change, but we couldn't check into our Airbnb until 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And it was like 8:30 Pacific Standard Time when we got in.
Yeah. So we had the whole day ahead of us, which was exciting.
So we had to like change inside a Target bathroom.
Great experience.
It was a fun experience. I peeled out of the rental car parking lot. Just really fun. It was just a fun time. But we ended up going to Venice Beach first. And we walked around Venice Beach, got some lunch there, got to see like all that workout area, all those iconic places that you kept talking about Grand Theft Auto.
Oh my god. So like literally I know so much of LA just from Grand Theft Auto 5. Like I have played the fuck out of GTA 5, and so we're like driving around and I'm like, yeah, I've like driven over so many people right here in Grand Theft Auto, like, you know, walking down Venice Beach and going past like the gym and whatever. It was really cracking me up. It was kind of surreal, you know. But yeah, walking down Venice Beach was super fun. Seeing the graffiti walls, seeing the basketball courts. Like my husband is always watching YouTubers who like play and film at those basketball courts. We saw someone multiple times who I followed on Instagram for like years. Her name is the Iron Giantess, and she's like this amazing workout person. But we just saw her like casually
walking by while we were eating lunch. Yeah. Like, I know that girl.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? So it's just very, very cool and surreal. We probably walked like 9 miles that day.
Yeah.
According to my Apple Watch.
Yeah, and army is everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Army really took over LA this weekend.
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. But by the end of the day on Friday, we were planning on like going out, like maybe going to a bar for a couple cocktails and finding like a cool restaurant. Mm-hmm. But we were just wiped out from all of our exploring and traveling. So we ended up just getting some Chinese and chilling. It was really funny when we were looking for Chinese in the area. 0.3 miles away from our Airbnb on Apple Maps was this title of this restaurant that just said Fried Rice Kevin. And we're like, what the fuck?
Not Kevin's Fried Rice.
No.
Fried Rice Kevin.
Fried Rice Kevin. So you click on it and like the photos are just this fucking dude on a street corner with like a plancha, like a grill top, who just like makes fried rice on the corner. Just Who's that? Yeah. Oh, it's Fried Rice Kevin. Like, what do you mean? You don't know Fried Rice Kevin?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, that's a whole restaurant. I just love that.
But we were still adjusting to the time change. I know it was only 2 hours, but we were exhausted. Having been up at 3 o'clock, there was so much energy and excitement too that by the end of the day, we were wiped, just wiped.
Yeah. The last thing we did on Friday night as we were chilling and eating our Chinese food was packing up our surprises that we had for the iconic meetup. That was really our first thing Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about the iconic meetup.
Yeah. So we put together, we get to finally talk about it.
I know.
Now.
We were hiding it. We were hiding it for so long.
Yeah. So we ended up making these bags. They're purple bags, and they had iconic written up and down them in white, white font.
Like tote bags.
Tote bags, yeah. Yes. Tote bags. And inside, we ended up making little packets for all the iconics at the meetup to make, like, little friendship bracelets.
Yeah, like J-Hope style.
J-Hope style, yeah. They had smiley faces. They had, like, the little flower smiley faces in there, too. And then we put... everyone could spell out iconic, ARMY, and BTS. Mm-hmm. So we had a little activity for everyone to do. And then we also ended up ordering buttons that said fucking iconic.
Except the U is an asterisk. So, you know, you can put it anywhere. It's fine. Yeah. But yeah, just really, really great. That was really fun to surprise the iconics there with it because we had been anticipating and preparing for that for so long.
We wanted to give you guys a gift. Mm-hmm. Just so grateful that we were able to have a meetup and that iconics wanted to come and hang out. So it was just like, we knew we wanted to do something special where we were giving you guys something for coming. So, yeah, we ended up going to Tongva Park, and when we scouted it out, we found this, like, 3 picnic benches all lined up, and they were all, like, connected to each other. We're like, this is the perfect spot for everyone to be able to, like, talk and mingle and, you know, get to know each other. And so we got there about an hour early before everyone got there to just claim the tables.
We were so stressed because it was Saturday morning. It was right next to, like, the playground on the park. Yeah. Like, it could have been just buzzing with families.
And there was no way to reserve it.
Yeah.
So we're like, this is ours.
Right.
Got very territorial.
We did. We did get territorial. Yeah. At one point, we, like, spread out the bags all over the 3 tables.
It started getting busy, and I was like, I'm spreading them out, Kayla. Like, I know we've got the bags here, but, like, no. We've got many people coming,
right?
So, gosh, that meetup was more than what I expected it to be. It was perfect. It was so fun getting to meet iconics.
Yeah,
like, that's the first time we've really, not the first time we've got to meet iconics, like Wendy, she's come, we got to see her,
we got to meet her before,
Speak Yourself. But, like, a group of iconics together, and then iconics getting to meet other iconics.
Yeah, and talk, like, and mingle. And
that have, like, talked to each other on Twitter or over social, and then, like, actually getting to meet in person.
I'm just – for a long time, I was speechless, and I really couldn't collect my thoughts because I'm just always eternally grateful that, like, we have this podcast and the friendship that we have from it, but also, like – we've had these parasocial relationships with these iconics for years now. Like, many of the people we've talked to at the meetup, we've been talking to on Twitter or via email for so long now.
Years.
And they truly feel like real friends, but we never got to meet. And so being able to meet and to say, like, we really are friends and, like, let's keep in touch was really amazing and really special. And it's not lost on me that we're just 2 random ass girls that just decided to make a podcast and just share how much we love BTS. And it's amazing to be able to share it with iconics.
Yeah. You know, I feel the sense of community within the iconic armies, but being in person, together, hanging out, talking, making bracelets, everyone got to share what they were looking forward to most at the concert, and to hear all of you fangirl over Namjoon's thighs and soap transitions.
Yeah.
I mean, it just warmed my heart. I'm like, wow, these are the best people.
Yeah, like, literally, we've always said that iconics are the best part of ARMY.
And funny. You guys are great.
Just meeting you in person really confirmed it all. And then you guys had a surprise for us too, which was totally unexpected.
Yeah. Meg and Rachel, I think, really got this surprise going. And what you ended up doing was you put a video together for us of Iconics delivering a message for us and thanking us and
of how much they love the podcast and love the Iconic community. And it was from Iconics all over the world that, you know, couldn't make it, and across the country that couldn't make it to the meetup. And that was incredibly humbling.
Yeah. I was already sentimental, but when we started to just get the video to load, it hadn't even loaded yet and hadn't even seen a single second of it. And I was already crying.
Yeah, already crying.
And I was just hit with this huge wave of emotion and just gratitude. It was humbling. And, you know, with this podcast, so much has happened. I've had so much like self-growth. I've had my insecurities with the show too, but I'm going to get emotional again. Mm-hmm. Just seeing all the support and all the love, it just makes it worth it. And I love doing this.
Yeah.
And it's so silly. It makes me feel like I should never be insecure about anything when mm-hmm. it comes to the show. And yeah. I'm just grateful that the people who are listening enjoy it.
Yeah. And yeah. And same. I feel the same. I'm just grateful that people care enough to like even want to meet up with us. Like that to me was just crazy. Like you want to hang out with us like in real life. I'm just eternally grateful that we have such incredible people that we get to talk to.
I loved meeting all of you.
Me too.
Yeah,
I love meeting you guys. And hopefully when BTS goes on tour next, we can all organize like another Iconic meetup. Like, let's plan to go to the same city and the same place and meet up again, because it was just phenomenal to be able to see you guys and meet you guys.
Yeah. Well, anyways, that was a huge moment. Mm-hmm. That was a highlight of the weekend.
Yeah. And for us, I mean, preparing for this weekend, we were equally as excited for the meetup as we were for the concert. And I think even after going through both of them, that still stands.
So thank you for everyone who came. Mm-hmm. Really, truly.
Thank you.
Well, after that, we went to the Santa Monica Pier, and that was just a great time, too. That was a really busy location, a hot spot, but I guess it was Saturday.
Yeah. We got to kind of do the Santa Monica Pier exclusively with Deja, because she had rental car issues and got to the Iconic meetup like 10 minutes after the last few people had left. And so we got to go explore the pier with her and just get like one-on-one hangout time, which was really awesome. Deja's just such a sweet, kind person. Mm-hmm. And we met up with Nathan and Crystal at the pier also.
Yeah.
And we all rode. It's like it was on my bucket list, like lifelong dream to ride the roller coaster on the Santa Monica Pier. And so it was $10 and you got to ride it two times in a row.
Yeah.
And we did. And so it was all five of us like, and we rode in the last like car of the coaster so we could get like.
We were in the very back.
Right. You get the full like whiplash, you get everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like turning around like, you guys better fucking put your hands up.
Hands up
the whole time. No excuses. It was easy because it wasn't like that crazy of a roller coaster to have your hands up on, but it was so fun.
It was smooth.
Yeah.
I was impressed
with
it.
It was smooth like butter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
This whole weekend was smooth like butter.
That's true. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So then after that, we decided to celebrate my birthday Saturday night. Since we weren't at the concert, we stayed off of Twitter, so we didn't know what happened on night one. But now we've gotten to catch up on that a little bit, what happened on night one. But we celebrated my birthday in Hollywood on a rooftop bar.
Yes!
Like, I felt bougie.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was amazing.
And our server was funny.
He was the biggest fucking troll.
He was a troll.
So like it was happy hour, so beer and wine was half off, so we're like, okay, let's get wine.
Mm-hmm.
And Bethany asks about like a rosé and
a pinot grigio.
At first he's like, I don't know if we have that.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, well maybe a rosé, and he's like, I don't know, I'll check.
Yeah.
And then he comes back with like some white wine that he splashed grenadine into to be like, it's a rosé.
We got a couple free drinks, though, thankfully, because I was like, I think this is Sauvignon Blanc with grenadine. What is that?
He served that to you twice. He served that to me also.
Yeah.
But then at the end, he came with like two free drinks that were like very citrusy, alcohol-packed drinks, which were great.
They were refreshing and very nice. Yeah. But we were with Nate and Crystal from, you know, the Enhypen podcast.
I got pushed in Enhypen podcast.
Yeah.
Nate has been a long time iconic. And so we had been friends and like we have talked over Snapchat and stuff. And so it was really, really wonderful to finally meet him in person. And I had listened to the Enhypen podcast when they were doing it. They're going to come back soon when Enhypen comes back also. So I'd kind of gotten to know Crystal over that. So it was really cool to like hang out with them further. They had come to the iconic meetup, but they invited us to the rooftop bar at their hotel. Yeah. So we got to like catch the end of the sunset and, you know, then we went to Walgreens.
That was
a shit show.
But it was a really fun night.
It was a great night. One more thing I want to say about the iconic meetup is that we did not get a group photo with everybody because we were just so excited. We were talking with everybody, mingling with everybody, and it just didn't happen. But Iconics who were there, if you have photos with us or of us or from the event, can you please send them to us? We've texted some of you, so you can text those back to us, or you can email them to us or DM us. But we would really love to have those photos just for our own memory preservation. But Saturday was really amazing.
All right, well, let's get into concert day.
Woo!
Okay, let's finally get into it. Okay. So we did spend the whole day getting ready.
Yeah.
The entire day we got ready. We were getting texts from Iconics, and we were just hearing that day one in terms of getting into the event was chaotic, so disorganized. There were like just globs of people trying to get in. And I heard that some people, they really didn't start getting people in until like 30 minutes before the show, like 7 o'clock.
Oh yeah. Even by like 7:10, there's still thousands of people outside. And then at that point, the security just started just having people go through, like just letting them in, not checking bags, not checking vaccination status, not even checking tickets at that point, just trying to get them seated.
Just saying go.
Just go. Get in. And the concert started like 15 minutes late just to let ARMY get to their seats. And I think some people still missed the first song or two.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really chaotic.
That had us worried and concerned, especially with just the state of the world right now. Not only do we have to worry about COVID, but just like events like this with this mass amount of people, it has to be organized, you know? Otherwise, people are put into dangerous situations where they can get hurt.
Yeah.
So,
especially since it's been 2 years since events like this have happened. So, people are different in a crowd than they used to be, you know? So,
and everyone's eager to see BTS, you know? And no one wants to miss the concert. So, if we're being put into a situation where we're having to quickly get into a venue within a 15-minute time frame, someone's bound to get hurt, you know? So I was really disappointed with SoFi about that.
About night one,
yeah. So we ended up tweeting about it, even though we were trying to stay off Twitter.
Yeah.
But ARMY is just an incredible and thoughtful group of people that, you know, I know that we can take care of each other and ourselves and not put ourselves into that situation. But with SoFi being the massive venue it is, they really should have this organization structure. And, you know, it's like the Super Bowl is going to be held there. Like, they have to have a better system.
Yeah, they have to do better. But we've really felt like, and probably because all of the backlash and all of the tweets that they got, I mean, articles were written about how
ARMY was vocal
SoFi
about it.
Was a disaster. And so on night two, we really felt a security presence, we felt a SoFi Stadium staff member presence, and we felt like it was really much better organized. I mean, we saw multiple people walking around with big question marks coming out of like their backs, like a backpack holding a massive question mark. So if you weren't sure where to go or what to do, you could seek one of those people out, and there were multiple of them, so it wasn't like a long line behind them. So that was really great. We were able to ask those people some questions. There was a little bit of confusion yesterday about a wristband situation. To try to process people through the entry line faster, you could go to a different line and get a blue wristband that proved your COVID vaccination status. But by the time we got there and parked, most of the booths that were set up for that were just vacant. Like, there wasn't anybody there.
And it was 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I was confused why they were vacant. And we had gone up to one of the booths, and the people who were there, there were like 4 people there. And they had no wristbands. They really didn't even know why they were there.
They were like, we're just stagehands. Like, we're not doing anything here. I was like, why are you here then?
Yeah. But as we were walking around, you could find some staff members who did have the blue wristbands, and there were massive lines.
Huge lines.
Yeah, but then those lines were merging with other lines, like gate lines. Mm-hmm. And then we were supposed to enter at gate 11, mm-hmm. and that line was insanity.
Yeah, I mean, the gate 11 line, it had a little, like, front parking lot in that area that wasn't in use for parking, but it was wrapped all the way around every single crevice of that parking lot, then out onto the sidewalk, all the way down the street. It went from, like, the side of the stadium all the way to the front of the stadium to another entry point where people thought that they were in line 12 at that point. And then you walk further down the line and ask people what line they're in, and they say 11. Mm-hmm. And then, like, there was the best part was near the line 12 entry point, there was a lady who started just, like, sitting on a curb.
Yeah.
And a huge, massive line behind her.
Yeah.
That went nowhere.
It went nowhere.
It was leading to nowhere, but there was so many people lined up, and I bet the people at the front of the line would have said, well, I'm just sitting and waiting, and the people at the end of the line would have said, like, I'm in line 11. Mm-hmm. Like, it was that. But I will say, even though the lines were kind of chaotic and it was everywhere, I mean, what else are you supposed to do with – we don't have an accurate number on how many people, but, like – 50,000 to 60,000 people being there, like, it's just going to be chaotic on the outside. Yeah. Like, until you can get in, there's not enough space for all of those people to go. So yeah. I'm at least grateful that at day two, there wasn't just, like, massive clumps of people, mm-hmm. and, like, a horde of people is much more dangerous than a bunch of lines.
Yeah, and rushing in yeah. within the last 30 minutes before a show.
Yeah, I feel like they definitely prevented that. I mean, some people were still getting to their seats like 15 minutes before showtime, but the stadium was mostly full by 7.
Yeah.
It was pretty packed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we ended up getting told that we could just go to any line.
Yeah.
Like, the staff member was like, just if you can find a shorter line, do it. Because line 11, line 12, it was just pure chaos. So we started walking around the venue, and we're trying to find any kind of line that we could just get in so that we could get in anywhere, any gate. We didn't care. And that is when you had texted Jess.
Yes, Jess, who we met at the Iconic meetup for the first time, Jess with the amazing jean jacket.
Yes.
And I texted her just because she had been wanting to meet up with us. And I know I feel bad because there's so many other people who wanted to meet up with us at the venue yesterday, yeah. but it was just so chaotic. And once we got inside, we could really only be like on our level. And to get to our level, you had to have the VIP ticket. So yeah. it was like,
once we got there, we were really just focused on getting into a line.
Yeah, and getting inside. Right. But so I texted Jess because she had said that she was over at entry point 7. And I asked, you know, could we come meet you? And she asked the two people behind her in line, and they didn't mind if two people joined her, which was, wow, phenomenal. Army is really just the best, because I think any other thing with chaotic lines like that, somebody would have been pissed off.
Yeah, they would have been like, back of the line.
No, I've been here for an hour, yeah. like, back of the line, I don't care. But no, they didn't mind at all, and we thanked them when we got up there, like, thank you for letting us, you yeah. know, come in here. But it was, Jess, you are seriously our iconic angel.
Yes.
Like, I really believe we would have been outside until 7 or later yeah. had you not let us hop in line. So incredible privilege right there that yeah. we got to, because she was really near the front of line 7. It yeah. did not take us long to get in.
Yeah. And they, right when we got to her, they were starting to let people in. Mm-hmm. And so they let people into the venue before sound check even started.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to hear sound check, mm-hmm. but we were kind of corralled outside, like the additional doors to get inside the venue. But we got through security.
Right.
And I thought that was very smart of SoFi mm-hmm. to just start to let people in mm-hmm. before,
yeah,
earlier.
They were processing as many people as they could through the gates first, and then they actually opened the glass doors into the venue at 5:30 like they were supposed to. But I think it really helped being able to get people through the security check first,
mm-hmm.
Which was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the workers came over and he's like, do you have VIP passes or whatever? I'm like, yes, this isn't the gate that I was told to go to. But another staff member said, just pick a line.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, I guess they're just picking lines. Mm-hmm. Like, he was like, I guess that's what's going on.
I guess
on.
That's what they were told. Because maybe at, like, their morning meeting that we heard yeah. that they had, maybe they were told, no, have everybody go to the line that they're supposed to be in or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because that guy seemed a little bit, like, incredulous, just like, well, Yeah. Okay, I guess so. You're fine. You can be here. Yeah. And it's like, well, we're not getting online now. Yeah. You know?
I mean, what are they going to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just, at that point, I think they were just wanting to screen people and get them through. They didn't care who was supposed to enter where, VIP, not VIP, whatever. Yeah.
They were really screening people on the inside too to like get to the like the C100 levels. For the VIP section, like, we had a massive line to get down the escalator to that level because they were checking your ticket to make sure you were VIP, which I thought was kind of silly. It's like, if somebody is down there who doesn't have a seat down there and someone goes to, like, sit there and they're like, hey, you're in my seat, then they'll just move. Yeah. Like, but...
That could just be Army, though.
I know.
Yeah. I think they had to just check.
Yeah, and make sure.
But, yeah. We got to our seats.
Amazing seats.
I couldn't believe it.
I know.
I was like that second stage right there. I mean, we were in the C100s. We could see second stage perfectly. And we were row 4.
Row 4. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really, our view felt like the same view that you might get from like watching a MAMA performance. You know, it's like when they have those shots that are not super close, you can see kind of the whole stage in like BTS's formation. That was exactly our view. I felt it was surreal. I felt like I was at, you know, at MAMA, but I was at a concert, you know?
This was our first time being kind of in the 100 sections, not on floor. This was our first time not being on floor. And having this like higher up point of view, you get to see a whole lot more than when you're on floor.
Yeah, this was definitely better seats than our floor seats at Soldier Field.
Yeah,
for sure. Okay, so
let's get into let's talk about the concert. Let's do it.
So let's talk about the opening VCR, which was BTS basically breaking out of a like an interrogation room.
Yeah. They were doing all their mug shots where, you know, they're holding their numbers up against the wall. We got that shot of Taeyong with the paperclip on his tongue and he pulls it out of his mouth and picks the lock on his handcuffs. And it's just all flirty and teasing with us. Like, oh, I died.
It's so sexy.
Yeah.
We melted.
Yeah. We've seen this VCR before, but seeing it at the concert, like getting into like BTS coming out on stage,
right?
Like the excitement,
the anticipation.
Yes,
we were screaming already, just freaking out.
I was freaking out,
absolutely melting. And then they come out with On, which is so epic. And because they kind of did a jailbreak scene in the opening VCR for the On stage, they're all like inside a jail and all the backup dancers are like climbing over the walls. And then the gates that BTS are behind like open up and they come out and perform On. And it's such a high energy entrance to the performance.
Yeah. And during this, like, they're in those white outfits. They all look sexy. It was super powerful. It was so much high energy just to kick off the concert. I was freaking out. But looking at, like, the screen, Jimin already, like, whipped out his tongue.
Oh, my God.
I was like, all right. I knew that I wasn't ready for this concert, but to see him pulling out those kinds of moves within the first song, I was like, I am going to die.
Like, within the first seconds, okay? And it wasn't just, like, a mild tongue slip. He, like, had it out and moved it all the way across his mouth and, like, up and fuck. And with the sleeve, the sleeveless and the arms, I was dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Fire was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was a little remix of Fire. And, you know, so it was fun to get, like, a different version of it.
Also, just thinking about, like, that chain-linked fence that they were climbing over, it also makes me think of the chain-linked fence that Yoongi hops over in Fire.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, a great set to, you know, bring these two songs together. Mm-hmm. But Fire was a remix. And, like, the whole stadium, like, went red.
And orange.
All the ARMY bombs. And that remix, it's just like
sexy.
So sexy, you know, just the beat is sexy. But then they started to come out towards second stage already with Fire. And man, Namjoon had such high energy too for this. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then we got Dope. And you know, you guys know, Dope is so special to us. It was the first music video that we watched of BTS. Mm-hmm. And so anytime they perform Dope is just a special treat personally.
During Dope, I was just thinking about the lyrics and how they've worked really hard and they're going higher moving up, and then just taking a moment to look around at this massive stadium filled with armies from all over the world. And it just feels like BTS is complete now. Like, this is their full...
They're in full form.
Full form.
Yeah. I was thinking literally the same thing as we were watching Dope, thinking about how that was the first song that really made them blow up in Korea. Like, in, you know, when they came out with Dope, everyone in Korea knew Dope, and that's what really started their growth and their popularity. And so just for them to perform it to an arena of 50, 60,000 people, Americans, you know, how much they've grown is just... incredible.
So then they had their opening mints and they walked back to the first stage and they welcomed us, they greeted us. Namjoon said, "Make some motherfucking noise."
And we were like, "Woo!" I love that he said, "Make some motherfucking noise." And we definitely did. I screamed my head off every single time that they said make some noise because I wanted them to fucking hear it, you know? They deserve all of the noise to be made for them. Like,
I am totally pro-mask and I've never felt like, oh, I hate wearing a mask. But I will say I was just like, I wanted to remove my mask because I wanted my voice to just project as much as possible to them. Like, send all my love and support.
But
every time they said make some noise, I mean, I was going crazy.
Insane.
Yeah.
I just loved for the opening men's getting to do J-Hope's opening again. I'm your hope. You're my hope. I'm J-Hope. That just, it felt like coming home, you
it
know?
It felt like coming home. Yeah. And he ended up saying later on in a mint, he said, this is just old fun.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe they were nervous when they started, but this is just old fun, just like before.
Oh, and then when Yoongi got put on the screen... I think people may have screamed the loudest for Yoongi. And he just, you know, he hams it up a little bit. He kind of looks around like confused, like, oh, for me, you know, like whatever. But he just looked incredible. We're just so wrecked over the orange hair and the forehead.
And just anytime he's at a concert, like he really is at his absolute best.
But even just at the opening mints, as they're barely into the concert, they already look so happy.
You can see the joy.
You can see it. So then we have a VCR as they go into an outfit change. I think this first VCR was like Namjoon and Jungkook and Taeyang in like their little secret hideout, like post breaking out of the jail. And so like we'll just kind of recap the story of the VCRs now so we don't keep coming back to them from what we remember. But they were kind of like hanging out, like playing pool, like whatever, and then someone slid a pizza box underneath the rolling gate,
the industrial rolling gate.
That had like their mission inside, and their mission is like with these little powders in their pipettes that like puffing the powders out, and it infects people with like the desire to like dance and party. And so I think they're like planning a mission on like where they're gonna set those off in the city. And so we kind of throughout all of the VCRs we see various parts of this story of those three guys and then the other four members of BTS also becoming involved in that, and they end up like bringing other people into the party. They end up partying in like a convenience store and dancing.
It's all about like not needing permission to dance.
So the VCRs were really great, and something that I loved about the VCRs is that we all sat down. Like, it was a break for ARMY at the concert, too, which was much needed because when BTS were out, it was so high energy, and we were screaming and dancing and jumping and singing, and so we just sat down in our seats and enjoyed the men's.
ARMY deserved to sit, too, after standing and waiting outside, you know, merch lines, waiting in lines just to get into the venue. I mean, there was just line after line, so people were on their feet all day, and so it was... It's nice that armies took the time to sit and relax and recover during the VCRs. Yeah. That was nice.
Knowing that BTS were backstage, like frantically, like getting, changed and hair drying. And I mean, it must have just been crazy for them backstage. Yeah. But we were chilling and enjoying the men's. The VCRs.
So then they came back out on stage with Blue and Gray. And this was very similar setup, just like how they had done for the Permission to Dance online that they had done in Seoul. So they were facing, you know, these
Mirrors, reflections.
Yeah, it was like mirror reflections, but it was pre-recorded footage of them, and they're looking at themselves. So their backs are towards us. But what I loved about Blue and Gray particularly is this really gave us an opportunity to focus on their vocals, their live vocals, because the majority of the show, I mean, you're singing, you're fan chanting, so you don't really get to appreciate their vocals fully. But here with Blue and Gray, we had that moment.
Definitely.
And even though their backs were to us, just seeing the movement in their backs, you could see the passion and the delivery of their vocals and their rap.
Definitely.
It's just moving.
It was moving.
And then getting to see them live with my own eyeballs turn around and face us, and then for them to see ARMY, it was moving.
It was really – this was the first time in the concert that I got emotional. I teared up. And, you know, Blue and Gray means so much to me, and to see it live was really, really special. To hear it live was special, and you're right – vocals on display for this song.
Yeah.
And just time to really appreciate their vocals. But it made me, I was thinking about my grandpa, and I was thinking about, you know, grief and all that, like, we've all been through with the pandemic and how we're kind of like moving on past it.
Yeah.
And so it was really special to get Blue and Gray. And then from Blue and Gray, after they turned around at that, like, kind of one of the ending parts of the song, they turn around and start walking out onto second stage. So it was a very kind of the slower moment in the song that they're making their way to second stage. And then they go into Black Swan from Blue and Gray, which was just incredible. This was the point. We talked a lot about this in our own reflections, but it was hard for us to decide between looking at the screen and looking at the stage, because on the screen, you can see their faces so clearly. You can see a lot of the detail of what's going on.
A lot of the fun interactions, too, between members that you're not really always able to catch when you're looking at the stage because you can't see the fine detail and the specific moments between members.
But on the second stage, it wasn't too far away from us. And at this point, I was like, I have seen Black Swan through a screen so many times. I've never seen it with my own eyes in front of me. And this was the point where I pretty much stopped looking at the screen. I only looked at the screen for the rest of the concert when they were at the main stage and it was too far away. And the rest of the time, I was just looking at the second stage and trying to absorb it. And seeing the Black Swan, like, intro choreography with the backup dancers and, like, the swan motions.
And the feathers. And you got to see the full effect.
Yeah.
The full effect with your own eyes. And yes, this was the moment for me too, where pretty much I'm like, okay, do I look at the screen? Do I look at the stage? Do I look at the screen? And then I just became way too focused on that. I'm like,
and this worried is that you're gonna miss something.
Yeah. And I'm like, I need to just not worry about it.
Because we wanna enjoy it.
Just enjoy it. Yeah. So I was looking too at the stage, because you really did get to see the full effect and just how mesmerizing this performance of Black Swan. I mean, the dancers and the precision in the dance movements, and like how I just think of like Yoongi when he was rolling and getting consumed in into the dancers.
Yeah.
I mean, we could see the side perspective too, where we could see the BTS members
moving in and out of the swan,
moving in and out, and just like all the transitions, and it was gorgeous.
It was beautiful.
And mesmerizing and breathtaking. I just was blown away. But once they got into the actual performance of Black Swan and singing the song, Kayla brought binoculars. She brought binoculars, and I'm so grateful. And I turned to you, Kayla. I'm like, this is the first time I'm seeing Black Swan performed live, like, right here with them. So I was like, I need the binoculars because I needed to see, like, the expressions and the, like, exchange, the emotional exchange between J-Hope and Yoongi during Black Swan.
Yes, the soap transition.
The soap transition. I was like, I need the binoculars. So I got to look through the binoculars and see Yoongi and J-Hope during their soap part. I'm living. My life is made. My life's complete. This is all I've ever wanted.
It's like all you've thought about for the past 2 years exactly. was the soap transition. You wrote a whole fanfic because of that soap transition.
The only fanfic I've ever completed.
Yeah. I mean, your life has been permanently changed by the soap transition. And so, yeah, I was like, I had taken the binoculars out of my purse and I just had them in my leather jacket pocket. We had matching leather jackets for this concert. Very permission to dance. But I had it in the pocket and I was like struggling to get it out of the pocket. Yeah. I was just trying to get it to you in enough time so you wouldn't miss it.
You did.
But
you
we were from then on out, we were just handing off the binoculars like all night. Like one of us were like, oh my God, Namjoon's on that corner. I need the binoculars. Like, let me look at him. You know?
And we could make out their faces from where we were.
Yeah.
But the binoculars, you really just got to see like the super full clear. Detail. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you could really see just like how happy they were or like how freaking hyped they were. Mm-hmm. Like Jungkook. Oh, God.
I'm replaying it in my mind right now. Just like looking through binoculars and seeing them. But the whole Black Swan performance was just incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got a mint after that.
We got a mint after mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
And during this mint, they were walking from the second stage back to the main stage. And I really liked how not all of their travel between the two stages was during a song where they had to be like hype and dancing down it. Like when they were walking between the two stages, just talking and being casual about it, it was like awesome because I felt like they were getting a little break, they were getting a little rest, and so they were working that into the actual set list time. But it was also like a fashion show for us, like they're walking down this runway looking fucking incredible.
Yeah. And I think it allotted time for ARMYs just to scream and show and express our love and just to be hanging out and present with BTS in one vicinity. Like that was just great. Like it just allotted time where they didn't have to be performing, you know, they didn't have to be like necessarily talking. Mm-hmm. It was just a time for BTS and ARMY to be together.
Totally. And when, you know, they show different members interacting with the cameras, they're coming up like doing a little gesture, being cute or sexy or whatever, then they get those special screams just for them. So it was a really wonderful moment.
Yeah.
What I really remember from this mint was the end of it where Jimin is like, and now the song you've all been waiting for. And we're just like, no, it's going to be Blood, Sweat, Tears. We're screaming already.
Yeah.
And when it started, I just, I could not contain myself. I was freaking out. I was hitting you. I was grabbing you. I was shaking
usually
you.
Usually I'm hitting you.
Usually it's the other way around. Like usually Bethany is, she cannot do it. Her emotions are too big that she just has to
fling
your body and get it out. But I was fully grabbing you. Like, oh my God. I have wanted to see Blood, Sweat, and Tears with my own two eyes. Since standings.
Yeah. Like since the beginning.
Since the beginning. Like since 2017. I mean, Jimin, Blood, Sweat, and Tears is what solidified me as a BTS stan and as a Jimin stan.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it has been a lifelong dream ever since becoming an ARMY. Mm-hmm. And so I know we didn't get the full song. And I know that when we saw the permission to dance online stage, that Blood, Sweat, and Tears just felt like a tease to us. Mm-hmm. But in person, even though we didn't get the full song, it did not feel like a tease. It felt incredibly satisfying, you know? I got what I needed from it.
I got what I needed, too. I was appreciative. I kept talking about how I wanted a full Blood, Sweat, and Tears performance. But once they transitioned into Fake Love, and then getting to do the fan chant for Fake Love... Fake Love.
Yes. Fake Love.
With ARMY, with so many ARMYs, it was like the best. I turn to you, I'm like, I am grateful for the full Fake Love performance because it is just one of their best.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it didn't feel like a tease, the Blood, Sweat, and Tears, even though it wasn't the full thing. Mm-hmm. It was satisfying and it was enough. That was all I needed.
Yeah.
And I was grateful for like getting all of Fake Love.
Yeah. They're like, here, pre-2017 and 2017 ARMY, this is a little treat for you.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. But and oh, by this time they're all in the black outfits.
The full body chains.
The body chains. And Jimin and Jungkook completely shirtless. Jimin literally only had one fucking button.
Only one button.
One button. So much belly, so much chest. Tattoos.
A little bit of the Nevermind tattoo. Yeah.
Fuck.
And his hair, too, is like longer.
It's long and sexy, and he kept pushing it back with the full forehead.
Yeah, but he has like these little tiny highlights in it that also remind me of like Fake Love era Jimin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
Yeah. Oh, but these full body chains. Jin had a full body chain too. Jin had this like bedazzled jacket. And just seeing him from like on stage looking down, you could see the lights reflecting off of them.
Glittering.
I almost thought that they had like light sticks on their jacket. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But it was just the shimmer.
How much they were shining.
Yeah.
Yoongi had like some sparkle like rhinestone on his jacket, but he was also wearing a skirt. And I love that. I love when BTS are androgynous with their style. So it was just phenomenal.
Yeah. J-Hope also had a see-through shirt and a jacket, and his trousers were just
perfectly tailored.
I am forever grateful for those trousers. I'm just saying.
the sheer shirt he was wearing. I mean, we saw J-Hope nipple.
We did. Which is rare.
Rare. It's a rarity. It is a rarity. Oh God. We're just scrolling through the pictures that we have in our document right now.
We're just looking at a photo of J-Hope.
Just fucking dying.
Yeah.
Oh, and Namjoon. I mean, he was just sweating through his clothes all night. Those Nam titties on display, just looking fucking incredible. Yeah. So hot, so sexy.
Oh, gosh, man. Okay, but really, the blood, sweat, and tears and Fake Love, like, a highlight of the night.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got a VCR. And after the VCR, life goes on, and Boy With Love. This was such a cute segment. This was the bed and the couch set. And so for this part, we were looking at the screen again because they were back at the main stage, but they started on the bed for Life Goes On. Life Goes On was another song that I got emotional. I fully cried
This is when I fully cried for the first time.
Because I was really just sitting there, standing there looking at the whole crowd, the whole stadium just packed full, you know. After COVID, after everything we've been through, being able to sing that song with BTS and with ARMY and to really feel the effect of it, like feel like everything is going to be okay. Life is going on right now. Mm-hmm. You know, just it was really a moment where I felt like we're reunited, you know?
Yeah, that circumstances are getting better. And to be at this concert is proof of that.
Yeah.
To be able to be with ARMY and BTS again in such a massive stadium. Mm-hmm. I was overwhelmed. It was eye-opening to me to see how huge ARMY is and BTS's popularity.
Yeah.
You really got to see the growth over the last 2 years despite the pandemic.
Yeah, despite the pandemic completely. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's definitely ARMY in attendance who were brand new ARMY within the last year or 2 years, you know. I would say a lot of people who were there were newer or younger ARMY, not like physically younger, but just like baby ARMY.
Yeah.
And it was really incredible to see like that massive crowd and all of us singing Life Goes On. During Life Goes On, I was just like, I was holding my hand to my chest, like clutching my arm, and I'm just swaying back and forth and really trying to take it all in. There were multiple moments throughout the concert where I was really just trying to live in the moment and just take it in, soak it in.
Soaking it in. That's how I felt with Life Goes On. I was having a lot of reflection during the song because I remember when vaccines really started becoming accessible to people and Kansas City, they had lifted the mask mandate. And I got on the streetcar in Kansas City by myself, and I had my earbuds in, and I was listening to Life Goes On, and it was the first time that I got to see that streetcar packed with people, with family and friends, having a really great time exploring Kansas City, going and getting food from the farmer's market and going out for lunch, and I was listening to Life Goes On, and I felt just this like euphoric state of, wow, life really does go on. It just made me happy to see everyone happy.
Yeah.
So to see BTS performing with ARMY to Life Goes On, I was just bawling. Yeah. I turned to you and I'm just like, we both had tears.
Yeah.
I guess I expected that Life Goes On, I would be moved, but I was particularly touched just reflecting on, you know, how life is going on in the pandemic, really.
Yeah.
Maybe making a turn for the better here.
I know. If you would have needed me to talk and reply back to you at that moment, I would not have been able to. I would have just fully broken down. Mm-hmm. I was very much choked up and I just couldn't believe it that we were there, you know? Like,
and this is when they had the Polaroid pictures.
The Polaroid pictures. That, another reason why it was really awesome to look at the screen during that performance was because they, you know, at the end of each member's line, they took a little Polaroid and like pasted it up somewhere on the screen. But what was really awesome was they did the same thing for ARMY. They were capturing random ARMYs around the crowd and putting them up on the screen. And wow, for those ARMYs that made it on the screen at some point, that had to have been one of the most memorable moments of their entire lives.
Yeah. And I don't remember where it was, but at least for day two, when they were giving some of their mints, it could have been the ending mints. I really
it
can't.
It was the ending
it
mints.
Wasn't. Maybe I'm jumping ahead. I'll save it.
Yeah, just save
I'll
it.
I'll save it for later. Okay.
But yeah, I just, the whole concert was like, as we got to our seats before the concert started, we were like, it hasn't even sunk in. I can't believe that we're here. Like, we didn't even know how to feel at that moment. But during Life Goes On was probably the most surreal moment because I was really reflecting on the meaning of the song.
I think that's when it was setting in.
Yeah, it was really like, wow, this is actually happening.
Yeah. And then they went into Boy With Love, and that was the best song that they could have done after Life Goes On because it really snapped me out of that sadness.
Yeah, it was just great fun.
It wasn't sadness. It was like happy tears.
Yeah, it was happy tears. Yeah. But Boy With Love is just such a fun song.
And they had the yellow couch, like what they have in the music video. Mm-hmm. Boy With Love, sorry.
Yeah, but it was Boys With Fun, essentially. Yeah. What was crazy to me, my biggest takeaway from that couch was fucking Kim Taeyong.
Oh, yeah.
This man. Of course, this couch is like massive oversized, but he's on the top of the couch, lounging, laying across the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. He just had to lay down for us. Mm-hmm. Like, I was floored.
I was floored, too.
I was literally on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has no boundaries. He just does whatever he wants.
Hey, I'm Kayla from Standing BTS. After you check out the latest episode of our show, be sure to check out some of the other great programs on Consequence Podcast Network, including Rootsland, an original story of two friends who take a musical and spiritual journey from the suburbs of Long Island to the streets of Kingston, Jamaica. The Opus is Consequence's original documentary podcast exploring legendary albums and their lasting legacies. So head over to consequence.net to listen to these podcasts and many great others.
So then they had another mint, and after that mint, they got into Dynamite, which was awesome.
The fireworks and the sparklers and just like the effects of like the production was
the confetti.
Yeah,
it was beautiful.
It was outstanding. Yeah, you know, it was really just it intensified the moment, and it was just well done. Everything was so well done. But Dynamite was an absolute blast. Like, and that was like getting to sing the full English too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm grateful for that, you know, because I really felt like I really fully sang along. I mean, I was singing Korean
the whole time right.
too, but like, I don't know, you really just got to belt it. And then we got that transition into Butter too, where they did
a little dance break.
I really thought that was special. Anyways, so then Butter comes.
Holy fucking shit.
And freaking Megan Thee Stallion showed up.
Yeah.
Like,
what?
We kind of anticipated, like, we were speculating.
We had speculated, you know, on the podcast, maybe Coldplay, maybe Megan Thee Stallion will show up at this concert. But as we were trying to make it through the heavy traffic surrounding the venue to our parking lot, we had rolled our windows down because we started hearing what we thought was soundcheck, but we're like, it's way too early for soundcheck. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? But we heard Butter, so we were listening, and we fucking heard Megan's voice.
Yeah.
And we're like, was that Megan? Is Megan here?
And we were looking around at all the armies, like standing in line,
walking by.
No one was like paying attention or freaking out or
saying anything, doing anything. So, we're like, are we the only ones hearing this right now?
Yeah. So that was kind of a tease for us. Yeah. We're like, we might get Megan Thee Stallion tonight, and then she came out.
Yeah.
Looking fine as hell.
Oh my God, her pink outfit.
Her booty.
Her boobs.
Her boobs.
Her body is just amazing. Body, yada, yada.
Yeah,
I mean,
her body. Just, yes.
She's so hot. And her stage presence was phenomenal. And all of ARMY was so stoked to see her. Mm-hmm. I was personally just happy for her that she got to perform Butter with BTS here.
Yes.
Since she wasn't able to do it at the AMAs like they had planned. Yes. And also knowing that she had all of these problems with her record label. Like, they didn't even want her to perform with BTS. They didn't want her to collab with them at all, and all of the struggle that they went through to actually be able to collaborate, they deserve to perform together.
Yeah.
And she deserved to have 60,000 ARMY screaming and cheering for her.
She looked starstruck.
Yeah.
I mean, she looked blown away at how crazy the fans were going. Like, that we were all just cheering so much. We were so excited to see her.
Yeah.
It was great that, you know, it was sad that at the AMAs she didn't get to be with BTS. Mm-hmm. So it's like she finally got the opportunity, and BTS finally got the opportunity to perform the song together.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for her to be at the concert and to show up for that,
yeah,
you know, for that one song.
For, you know, to be on stage for like less than 5 minutes too, to dress to the nines and look as phenomenal as she did, mm-hmm, just for a few moments on stage.
She stood like back to back with Namjoon.
Yes!
And I freaked out.
I died.
Like, no.
Too much.
Yeah.
Too much attractiveness,
yeah,
right here.
And just getting to see her dance and have fun on stage with BTS too. Oh.
It was great.
I mean, really a special moment for Night 2,
yeah,
goers particularly.
Definitely.
We got lucky with that.
We really did get lucky with that. So we had another VCR where they did another outfit change. And at this point, they kind of change into more relaxed, casual outfits. Not the ending meant like Permission to Dance outfits, but kind of like Cali style, you know?
Style.
Mm-hmm. But we get some great songs during this last little segment of the concert.
Yeah, we got Airplane Part 2, so mm-hmm, we're getting a little bit sexier.
Mm-hmm.
I think that song is so sexy.
It is so sexy, and it's so great every time.
Yeah.
And then Bapse. I love Bapse here. Like, normally I feel like Bapse is like an opening, like,
hype song,
you know? Fucking during Bapse, Namjoon fucking sprinted like to the end of the second stage, and he did the first hip thrust. Oh my God, I died. I just died. I mean, I was screaming so hard. It's ingrained, burned into my memory.
Yeah, like I'm just replaying it in my mind.
Yeah,
right,
me
now.
Too.
Like,
oh,
he really hip thrust.
He did it so hard. I mean, he knew we were there. He knew that we needed it from him.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I was dying.
I think that's just like the best concert song is Bapse. I hope they forever perform Bapse at every concert.
Yeah.
It's a fan favorite.
It is. It
gives us hard stands a little moment.
Oh my God.
To just fangirl. But then they went into Disease, mm-hmm, and I was particularly looking forward to hearing Disease, mm-hmm, and Telepathy.
Live!
To hear it live in these B songs. Mm-hmm. Like, B has become one of my favorite albums.
Same.
So, Disease, getting to hear the vocals at the bridge, mm-hmm, and to hear the build
yes,
in that song live, and feeling the energy of, you know, the whole stadium for like, you're gonna fade away. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it was peak euphoria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just fantastic.
Unimaginable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the bridge.
The bridge.
Hearing the bridge live, all of ARMY. And the ARMY bombs at that time were like blue and purple. So it was like really soulful colors.
Mm-hmm.
And BTS
have so much energy,
mm-hmm,
for this song too.
Yeah.
And then they were heading back towards first stage.
And we're like,
too,
what are they doing? They're heading back to the main stage.
Yeah.
And then they like split in the middle, and half of them walk to one side, one extreme of the main stage, and the other half walk to the other. And we're like, what is going on?
I was so confused, and I was just like calculating in my mind, like, what are they doing? Like, why,
mm-hmm,
are they standing on these like corner parts of the first stage, and why do they split up? And then we saw them walk out onto these like
forklifts. Yeah.
And I still, like, it really hadn't processed in,
mm-hmm,
my mind. And then you turned to me.
I'm like, oh my God, It's our double fucking biases. Yeah. On the forklift on our side of the stadium was Jimin, Namjoon, Taeyang, and J-Hope. And they, I was realizing, processing, they're about to ride these forklifts around the stadium. Like they did with the double-decker bus in the online show.
Yeah. For telepathy.
For telepathy.
And so, yeah, once I started to see it move, mm-hmm. like you see the lift moving, mm-hmm. and then I'm like, oh my God, I'm taking in my surroundings because we're row four. The section one, those 100s.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Kayla, they're going to come right by us. Like, screw the binoculars.
I know. Really, because I brought the binoculars knowing that, like, for us, one of the most fulfilling parts of a BTS concert is seeing them clearly with our own eyes.
Yeah, seeing the details of their face clearly.
Yeah, just, like, to be like, they are real people. They're just incredible. And we always have said, like, we're never, ever going to get as close to them again as we were in Fort Worth. We were truly lucky to have had that concert experience. We had no idea mm-hmm. how special it was when we were in it, you know, mm-hmm. That GA admission, like, on the floor where you could be anywhere on the floor and, like, barricade easily at any time.
I mean, we just knew that we were never going to experience that again. But we were just as close being in row four, seeing them go by on these freaking lifts.
Feet from us.
I couldn't believe it. And yes, the first group that went by us was our double biases. What were the chances of that?
What are the chances?
Taeyang, J-Hope, Jimin, and Namjoon all together, like, coming to us. And, like, Taeyang was really, like, facing towards us and had his arms out, and just seeing him come over, and that was really the first time I felt like Taeyang's gaze.
He saw you.
And I was like, no. Yeah. Like, he, you know, like, you just can't get all of the members' gaze at mm-hmm. you. But that's the first time I got a Taeyang gaze. And I was like, I'm so blessed. I'm so grateful. Like, my life is made. Mm-hmm. I cannot go on.
I feel like they were all looking in our area. I didn't feel like when those four went past, I didn't feel like any of them were elusive. They were all facing us when they went past. And mm-hmm. I mean, just to see Namjoon, you know, I'm so in love with him. Mm-hmm. And, like, just to see his face again.
Yeah.
Because permanently stuck in my mind is, like, him at Fort Worth doing the I love you sign right at us, uh-huh. you know, and just, like, the tears in his eyes and the look on his face of pure, like, I really do love you. I hope you know. Mm-hmm. Just seeing them again, so close. I mean, I would say we were as close as we were in Fort Worth to them. And the fact that we got these tickets, row four.
Okay, but I'm telling you, when we were getting ready for buying tickets, Telepathy, I told you, I'm like, this is my manifestation ticket song. Mm-hmm. So we listened to Telepathy to mm-hmm. like hype us up for getting tickets. Mm-hmm. And then the tickets we ended up getting got us a spot that for Telepathy, we got to see them right up, like, in front of us. Like, I love looking for those little synchronicities and just, like, making the most of life.
It's,
like,
it's part of what makes life so incredible.
Yeah.
Like, how is that coincidental that this just happened? It seems like a moment just perfectly made for us. And I'm sure so many ARMYs around the stadium had a similar feeling and experience. Uh-huh. But we really felt like, wow, this is, like, tailored to the experience that we need from this concert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the two lifts met in the middle, mm-hmm. and then they open up the gates and they switch. So we're like, oh my God.
Now we get to see Yoongi,
Jin, and Jungkook. Uh-huh. So just how special, we got to see all seven of them right in front of us.
Yeah.
So then they came over mm-hmm. and really got to take in Yoongi's everything.
I know.
Yoongi's hair, my gosh, the undercut, mm-hmm. the hair slicked back, mm-hmm. and he just looked fine as ever.
He looked amazing. I was really good about my mask the whole time, but when they came by, the little voice in the back of your head that you just can't ignore was telling me, like, hey, remember when Yoongi has said in interviews, like, he really remembers faces? And I was thinking about Fort Worth and how we definitely had sustained eye contact and how he threw his fucking water bottle to
me.
So I was like, when they came by, when they were really close, I pulled my mask down just in case
he saw
me and he could recognize, oh, hey, I remember that girl from 4 years ago. Like, no, of course he wouldn't. But, like, just you know, case. Just in case, you know.
It's worth the shot.
It's worth a shot. But yeah. I just reveled in the moment of seeing him again so close.
Jin was engaging with the floor seat, so his back was to us. But I was like, Jin.
We saw those shoulders.
Giving you all the kisses, Jin. Mm-hmm. And we saw Jungkook. He was really dancing.
Yeah.
He was having so much fun. Oh, but what a blessing. That was, I have to say, probably the best part of the night for me.
I think it was.
I had, because we hadn't spoiled ourselves at all, so we didn't know that they did that. So, I mean, it was a complete surprise.
Yeah, we had no idea. I would agree with you. Definitely a highlight of the night. Best part of the night for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. Wow. So after telepathy, then they went back to the stage and they performed Stay and So What. And these are just sister songs that you get that EDM party feel good, just celebrating and having a blast with BTS and ARMY.
I love Stay at this part in the concert because we know the concert's coming to an end. So it's kind of like symbolic of staying together, even though we are about to part ways for the first time.
And that's when they had their mint and they're like, ARMY, it's coming to an end. You know, like, this is the part where we're like, you know, wrapping it up.
And we're like, no!
Like, literally all of ARMY's like, no, stay. You're not going anywhere. It reminded me of just how fast these concerts go. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes by in a blink. It's just so quick. Mm-hmm. But then they came out and they performed Save Me. And then after Save Me, they went into I'm Fine, which in Seoul, I think they did Save Me.
They did I Need You and Save Me. And we talked about with that episode that we felt like, okay, it's like their message to ARMY, like, they need us and they need us to save them, you know, like, they need to be with ARMY to, like, be happy. And so then they changed it to Save Me and I'm Fine to, like, let us know they're okay.
They're okay.
Yeah. I love that.
Oh, and then they did Idol.
The full song.
The full song. And they went out to second stage.
And they did the choreo.
They did the choreo, but they also had parts where they weren't doing the choreo, where they were just vibing. And Jungkook had come out to, like, the corner of second stage that was closest to us. And he just stood there and he was going so hard. I mean, he was just feeling himself and vibing. And then Yoongi came over and we see Yoongi take his water bottle, and I got to see this with my own eyes. Yes. Like, not through the screen, like, I saw him just, like, dunk the water all over his head, his orange head, and just, I mean, just revel in the water and then throw the water bottle out into the crowd. I was everything I could ever want.
Yeah,
it was, oh gosh, it was just the perfect night. It's so memorable. I'm, like, getting teary-eyed thinking about how great Idol was. Yeah. It was, I mean, they went all out, all the energy.
Namjoon stepped onto one of those corner parts, too, and I grabbed the binoculars just to see him again.
Yeah.
And when he wasn't singing or, like, providing backup vocals, he's just bopping around, vibing. He had this huge smile on his face. He looked so happy.
Uh-huh.
Like, all of the members looked so happy.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Then we close out. Oh, one more thing I have to say about Idol. When they were doing that full choreo for it, Jimin's fucking kick. I mean, that was the highest kick I've ever seen him do. He was right on, like, the tip of the stage where he was just going full force, full out, just phenomenal, incredible.
Yeah. I also have to say, too, with, like, So What, Jin with, like, all the confetti and, like, the
the confetti guns.
Jin just, like,
chaotic.
He was so chaotic and he's so funny.
Yeah.
He's so hilarious.
Also, the confetti, especially from our seats, like, where they had confetti cannons and then BTS themselves were spraying those confetti guns. It was beautiful. It just looked really pretty.
It was,
like,
pretty.
So in addition to, like, your notes about the production, it was just really great.
We got some confetti.
Yeah.
We were able to capture some.
I got, like, 3 little pieces.
Yeah.
And then we had the encore. And this was such a strange encore. And I think the reason for that was that there was just so many people in attendance. But typically with an encore, we chant BTS, BTS. Or at least we'll do, like, some of the fan chant and then chant BTS.
Yeah, chant their names.
Because you're supposed to get them to come back out. Like, that's what an encore is.
Mm-hmm.
And in our section, it started a couple times, but it wasn't super sustained. It maybe went for, like, a minute. And you felt kind of silly because nobody else, you know, the whole venue wasn't doing it. And so, like, even at Soldier Field, everyone did, like, a big encore with a chanting. So it was a little bit different, but we were all kind of just, like, waiting for them to come back.
We should be chanting their names. Like, we went them to come back.
Yeah, we want them to come back.
I mean, traditionally how an encore goes.
Mm-hmm.
But Then we got another VCR, and they did come back onto stage, and they performed Epilogue Young Forever. And it was just moving and particularly touching to hear this song because there's so much packed emotion in this song for when they sing it and also for Army singing it with them. I really felt it was a beautiful song to end on, and they also did Spring Day after Young Forever.
Yeah, and both of the songs were beautiful and really great to end on. And we felt like, you know, the Spring Day has come for them to perform this and for us to be together. So that was incredibly, I would think, poignant as that, with that song being included there. And then they had their closing mints, and what was different about the closing mints today as opposed to yesterday is that yesterday everybody besides Yoongi spoke in English, and when they're speaking in English, they're not able to convey all of their emotions as deeply and as detailed as they were if they were speaking in Korean. And so the majority of them last night spoke in Korean, and then they had a translator. And ARMY, even though it was a massive venue, was really good about being quiet when the translator was translating for us. And I felt like the mints were really, really heartfelt. And they just shared their gratitude about how happy they were to be here and to be with ARMY again. And I think Jin said that it felt like BTS and ARMY were making a movie together. Like, it felt like this felt life like a was a movie, which just goes to show how surreal it was for them, too, to, like, be back and be with ARMY.
Yeah. J-Hope's mint really resonated with me. And he looked like he got a little teary-eyed and emotional. He said he wanted to talk in Korean because he really had some words he wanted to share that he couldn't share in English. So he ended up saying basically that this is a historic night for them, but this is a monumental and historic moment for us, you know?
He and hoped that it would be.
That it would be, yeah. And that's how this whole weekend has felt. Like I said, it feels like a life event. Like, I know it sounds drastic to say, like, a life event, as in,
but
like, you know, getting your degree or, you know, getting married. But this whole weekend is something I'll never forget. And I feel like it's really enriched my life. Like, I'm so grateful to have experiences like this because of BTS. And so for them to be experiencing this concert, these four massive concerts in LA after 2 years of a pandemic, you know, it is historic for them. But everyone in attendance, this is something that every ARMY who was there tonight and all four nights are going to remember for the rest of their lives. And to be, you know, so grateful, like, some of the happiest moments happened this weekend for people all around the world. So
I'd agree with you. For me, it's definitely a lifelong memory and experience and something that I will carry with me forever. And I'm glad that J-Hope, you know, realizes that what a big night it was, not just for them, but for everyone in attendance, like how much we've been anticipating this as much as they have been. Yeah. But all of their ending mints were really great and heartfelt. And, you know, just we could really feel the love and the appreciation.
We could.
And they ended with Permission to Dance, of course, the headlining song of the, you know, these four performances, the Permission to Dance on stage. So, of course. And in the first two concerts that we went to with BTS, we had like this cathartic moment at the end where we tear up because they're usually performing like a really emotional last song. And for this one, we really didn't get that. And it was different, but we enjoyed it. Like, I felt like we got to go out on the concert being a celebration and really happy and excited, as opposed to being sad that BTS were leaving and that the concert was already coming to a close.
It really felt like just a celebration and a moment to be happy and to take it in and not to feel sad, which I think Permission to Dance, the highlight for me was getting to dance, like, the sign language part with BTS.
We did the whole thing.
We did the whole thing. And we got to sing Permission to Dance to BTS, too. And they just looped that part of Permission to Dance where we just kept singing the chorus over and over. And it felt like we were united. It was that moment of unity that, you know, a lot of those other, like, sadder songs, you feel that unity. But you're also, like, crying and saying goodbye. But this was just, like, we're dancing and having fun together, like, all of us here at once.
Yeah. So I learned right after the concert that they performed We're a Bulletproof Part 2 and Love Myself Answer at the end of night one instead of Young Forever and Spring Day. And that kind of broke my heart a little bit. Like, I got in my feelings a little bit because I really wanted to see We're a Bulletproof Part 2. We're Bulletproof the Eternal. Live because ever since they created that song, I was like, this is a song that needs to be with Army in a concert, you know?
They could have easily done that song all four nights.
Right.
So but they have so many, like, BTS ARMY songs that, like, for us, yeah, we were really looking forward to We Are Bulletproof the Eternal. Mm-hmm. But I was really grateful to have Young Forever.
Yeah, you know? I loved Young Forever. And after processing my emotions and just kind of reflecting more, I'm really grateful that they ended with Permission to Dance and mm-hmm. that we, you know, I would have full-on cried with We Are Bulletproof the Eternal. And yeah. So I'm glad that I was able to end the concert on a really happy, like, celebratory note instead mm-hmm. with Permission to Dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was wonderful.
But that emotional release, you were kind of looking for that emotional release mm-hmm. of, you know, crying and of happy tears, but also, like, having to say goodbye to BTS. Yeah. You know? Like, you were kind of looking forward to that because those are memorable parts mm-hmm. for the last two concerts. Mm-hmm. But we were not disappointed with Permission to Dance and getting to just celebrate and dance and sing to BTS.
Yeah. I loved doing the dances.
That was unique.
It was really awesome. Mm-hmm.
I'll remember that.
I was really grateful that the choreography for PTD was the sign language choreo, and it translated to a concert performance so well because mm-hmm. we were all able to do it with them. So a night to remember for the rest of our lives, a weekend to remember for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
The iconic meetup and the concert were truly something that I will never forget and something that I feel incredibly honored to have been a part of.
Yeah. I'm just bursting with gratitude and love.
Yeah. My cup is full.
It's full.
Overflowing.
It's overflowing.
Yeah. I'm going to try to go home and articulate this entire weekend to my husband, and I'm going to totally fail because I'm still, even though we've just spoken about the concert and our weekend for an hour and a half, I am just still speechless.
Me too.
I've never been as speechless as I am after this weekend.
Experienced a lot of emotions that are hard to just articulate.
Yeah.
Because haven't really experienced anything like this in my life before.
Yeah. But we loved every moment of this weekend. We soaked it in as much as we can. We know that there were a bunch of iconics at the concerts this weekend and who are going to the upcoming concerts this week.
Yeah.
And we hope that you all had a blast. Mm-hmm. Let us know how your concert experience was. DM us, send us an email, whatever. If you're not already, you can follow us on Twitter at Standing BTS Podcast or on Instagram, Standing BTS Podcast. And we love to talk with you there. At the iconic meetup, a couple people were like, yeah, I've wanted to talk to you, but I've been nervous about emailing you or whatever. Email us.
Yeah.
Tweet at us. Like, whatever. We want to talk to you. Please. It's the best thing ever.
We always read it.
Yeah. So, thank you, Iconics.
Thank you, Iconics. Thank you for listening. Thank you, BTS, for putting on a fantastic show and for all your hard work.
Yeah. Thank you, BTS.
A weekend I'll remember for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Weekend to spend with my best friend.
I know. Like, this
first is first time traveling, like, mm-hmm. together, just you and me.
Our first trip just solo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Iconic.
Nothing short of perfect.
Nothing short of perfect. Iconic, historic weekend.
Yeah.
Definitely. Special thanks to our supporters on Patreon, especially our VIP Iconics. Eileen, Michelle, Deja, Meg, Rachel, Robin, Allie, Nate, Cecily, and Crystal.
Welcome, Crystal. Thank you.
Thank you for your support, Crystal. And thank you, Iconics, for all of your love and your support. It truly means the world to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, just happy to be here.
Just happy to be here.
Be doing this, talking about BTS.
Yeah. If you enjoyed this episode, and we hope you did, please write us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen. Reach out to us about your thoughts and feelings about these concerts as well. We love to hear it. And of course, you can find links for all of the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.